The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 16, Text Number 32 till 36, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 12th, 2007, in Helsinki, Finland.
So this is 116 Bhagavatam, Text 33, 32, 33, 34. 35 and 36. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahmadeyo bahutitam yad apangamoksha kamastapa samacharan bhagavat prapana sashri svavasang aravindavanam vihaya Yat parasabhagamalang bhajate nirukta Tasyahang abja kurishan kushake tuketai Shimat padair bhagavatas samalan kritangi Trinatta rocha upalamyatato vibhuting Lakansumang vyasrajar utsmayatim tarante Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by demigods like Brahma, and for whom they surrendered many a day under the personality of Godhead, gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems by being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod, and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. Purport. The beauty and opulence of the world can be enhanced by the grace of the Lord, and not by any man-made planning. When the Lord Sri Krishna was present on this earth, the impressions of the special signs of his lotus feet were stamped on the dust. And as a result of this specific grace, the whole earth was made as perfect as possible. In other words, the rivers, the seas, the forests, the hills, and the mines, which are the supplying agents for the necessities of men and animals, were fully discharging their respective duties. Therefore, the riches of the world surpassed all the riches of all the other planets in the three planetary systems of the universe. One should therefore ask that the grace of the Lord always be present on earth, so that we may be favored with his causeless mercy and be happy having all necessities of life. One may ask, how can we detain the Supreme Lord on this earth after his mission is fulfilled and he has left this earth for his own abode? And the answer is that there is no need to detain the Lord. The Lord, being omnipresent, can be present with us if we want him at all. By his omnipresence, he can always be with us if we are attached to his devotional service, by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. There is nothing in the world with which the Lord is disconnected. The only thing we must learn is to excavate the source of connection and thus be linked with him by a fenceless service. We can be connected with him by the transcendental sound representation of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. And one who chants the holy name of the Lord in an offenseless manner can at once realize that the Lord is present before him. Even by the vibration of radio sound, we can partially realize sound relativity. And by resounding the sound of transcendence, we can verily feel the presence of the Lord. In this age, when everything is polluted by the contamination of Kali, it is instructed in the scriptures and preached by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can at once be free from contamination and gradually rise to the status of transcendence and go back to Godhead. The offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord himself. And the movement of pure devotees of the Lord all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Only by the propagation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can we be immune from all effects of the age of Kali. This is absolutely amazing information that Prabhupada has given. Absolutely amazing information. That the presence of the Lord brings all auspiciousness, even materially speaking. As Prabhupada gives the example, all of the rivers, the seas, the forests, the hills, the mines, which are the supplying agents for the necessities of men and animals, all of these fully discharge their respective duties when the Lord is present. And we don't have to think, well, Krishna is gone, he left 5,000 years ago, what's our hope now, it's finished. No. If we can simply fully absorb ourselves in devotional service, Nava Vidha Bhakti, the 9 different means, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, you see. If we can simply deeply, deeply, deeply dive into this, Nava Vidha Bhakti, then Prabhupada points out, this is amazing, one can actually feel Krishna's presence. Prabhupada says, we can verily feel the presence of the Lord, you see. How would you like to meet Krishna? Wouldn't that be the most wonderful thing, to feel how you're in the presence of the Lord? We have full facility right now, hearing and discussing the Bhagavatam. We have full facility because Krishna is present. The sound incarnation of Krishna, Bhagavatam, is Krishna. Krishna is the Bhagavatam is Krishna. If we can fully, deeply, deeply, deeply dive into this Bhagavad Gita, then we will actually feel how Krishna is present. You see? And when Krishna is present, it's a revolutionary thing. If you have, as pointed out here, if there are pure devotees, that means people who chant without any offense, who are not chanting for name, fame, profit, adoration, and distinction, who are not chanting for any material motive, you have people who are chanting just for the sake of pleasing Krishna. If there are people like that and they're wandering over the face of the world, going here and there, traveling and preaching all over the world, you know what will happen? Prabhupada, it's so wonderful. He says, all over at once, the troublesome face of the world will be transformed. So, who were those pure devotees supposed to be? Do you think Prabhupada wants us to be those pure devotees or not? What do you think? Doesn't want us to be those pure devotees? That's only for, you know, for himself and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, Bhakti, not for us. I mean, we're not supposed to try to be pure devotees, are we? Who can, you know, whose chanting can actually bring auspiciousness to the earth? That's not for us, right? No, Prabhupada wanted us to become pure devotees. You know what he told us in Mayapur? It's amazing. He said, now we are 10,000, and then we will be 100,000. And then we will be 1,000,000. And then we will be 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Prabhupada wanted 10,000,000 pure chanters of the holy name who would go here and there traveling and preaching so the whole world could become transformed by the potency of these great pure devotees who are wandering about the earth, you see. So now do you know what your mission is as an ISKCON member? Your mission is to become a pure devotee so that by your chanting the whole world become auspicious. You see, this is your mission. Everyone is sitting in this room. Your mission is to become such a pure devotee that the whole world atmosphere becomes auspicious by your chant, the power of your chanting. So now we'll go to the next verse. What unlimited nectar there is in this Bhagavatam. Yo vai mamati baram masura vangsharagyam akshahani shattam apanu dadat matantra tvam dushtamuna param atmani parishena samparayan yadushuramyam navibradangam. O personality of religion. Remember, this is Mother Earth speaking to Dharma the Bull. O personality of religion, I was greatly overburdened by the undue military phalanxes arranged by atheistic kings. And I was relieved by the grace of the personality of Godhead. Similarly, you were also in a distressed condition, weakened in your standing strength. And thus he also incarnated by his internal energy in the family of the Yadus to relieve you. The Asuras want to enjoy a life of sense gratification, even at the cost of others' happiness. In order to fill this ambition, the Asuras, especially atheistic kings or state executive heads, try to equip themselves with all kinds of deadly weapons to bring about a war in a peaceful society. They have no ambition other than personal aggrandizement, and thus Mother Earth feels overburdened by such undue increases of military strength. By increase of the Asuric population, those who follow the principles of religion become unhappy, especially the devotees or devas. In such a situation, the personality of Godhead incarnates to vanquish the unwanted asuras and to reestablish the true principles of religion. This was the mission of Lord Sri Krishna, and he fulfilled it. So, there are two kinds of burdens, Prabhupada explained. The one is called the burden of love. Just like the mother, she has a baby. And it's a big, big burden. That baby cries in the middle of the night. That baby's diapers have to be changed. That baby has to be fed. It's a constant marathon for the mother, you see. She has no peace. She's constantly a slave to the demanding baby. The baby's constantly demanding service. So, someone says, all right, I will kidnap your child, I will relieve you from this burden. Will the mother like that? No. That is called burden of love, you see. She finds great happiness and satisfaction in that burden. Another example is the burden of the businessman who becomes very rich, just like this Bill Gates. He become big, big billionaire. So managing all that money, that's a big burden. You have to hire so many accountants, make sure they're not cheating you, etc., etc., etc. But you offer him, well, if it's such a headache managing your billions of dollars, would you like to become a pauper? We'll take all your money. But no. So that is called burden of love, you see. The businessman, he becomes very wealthy. That money, although a burden, he loves that burden, you see, all that money. The mother, she loves the burden of this little baby. So that is called burden of love. So if the world becomes full of of devotees, huge number, even a huge number of devotees all over the planet Earth. That is a burden for the earth, but that is called burden of love. But if there is a suric population, there is another type of word for this type. It is called burden of the beast. That is a very hellish burden that nobody wants. You see? Just like you're on Parikrama in Vrindavan and some monkey jumps on your back, you see, that's called burden of the beast. To steal your bead bag, you know. That would be a burden of the beast. So, right now, the earth is burdened by the burden of the beast. Mother Bhumi is crying in agony. Just see how our rivers are polluted, how our air is polluted, how so many sinful activities are going on everywhere, and everyone applauds that they are very wonderful. You see? It's horrible. I was sitting next to a man on the airplane and today, flying from Amsterdam here to Helsinki. And you know how they have the in-flight catalogs where you can buy things on the airplane? So this man, he called, he was buying something. He gave his credit card, he bought something from the stewardess. And I was looking over at him as he was looking at this magazine to see what object of sense gratification he would take home from the flight today. And it was mentioning some perfume, how it had a sexy aroma, you see. It's actually horrible what they are doing. The kind of culture they have created. You know, they call this particular smell is sexy, so you have to have this, so you know, you'll attract the opposite sex, you see. This is how we're being so much poisoned and misguided by the modern day civilization that, you know, you have to be sexy. I mean, it's absolutely insane. There's no conception of brahmachari life, you see. Tapasa brahmacharena. You see, there's no conception of being celibate, of controlling the senses, regulating the activities for the progressive march of the human civilization. It's simply going down, down, down into deeper and darker delusion, you see. This material world is simply a dungeon of deeper, darker delusion, deafening delusion. That is the material civilization. So, Mother Bhumi here is telling Dharma how she was so much overburdened, but Krishna came to the rescue. You see? Krishna has come to the rescue. So, just as Krishna came to the rescue 5,000 years ago, so Krishna again has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has departed, but now another Krishna has come. Do you know who that other Krishna is? That is ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada says that ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna. So Krishna has appeared as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So anyone who becomes an active member of this movement, they are in direct contact with Krishna. When you're in contact with this movement, you're in contact with Krishna. So, just see how Krishna is so kind that he is incarnated in the form of ISKCON so that we can become blessed and the whole world can become blessed by his transcendental, sweet, unlimitedly nectarian, causeless mercy. Now we will go to the next text. Kavasaheta virahang purushottamasya premavaloka rucharasmita valgujalpai stairang samanam maharan madhumani menam Ramotsavo mama yarangi vetan kithaya. Beautiful. These slokas are so beautiful. Beautiful poetry. Who therefore can tolerate the pangs of separation from that Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could conquer the gravity and passionate wrath of his sweethearts, like Satyabhama, by his sweet smile of love, pleasing glance, and hearty appeals. When he traversed the earth's surface, I would be immersed in the dust of his lotus feet and thus would be sumptuously covered with grass which appeared like hairs standing on me out of pleasure. There were chances of separation between the Lord and his thousands of queens because of the Lord's being absent from home. But as far as his connection with earth was concerned, the Lord would traverse the earth with his lotus feet, and therefore there was no chance of separation. When the Lord left the surface of the earth, returned to his spiritual abode, the earth's feelings of separation were therefore more acute. So, we were just a few moments ago cultivating that feeling of separation for a great Vaishnava Acharya who has recently departed. So we know how that sadness in the heart, that anguish in the heart, that we are separated from that great, great Acharya who so much enlivened us with transcendental nectar, who gave us so much loving mercy and kindness, who helped us to be protected from the material nature, you see. So we can, from the way we are feeling separation from this great Acharya, His Holiness Suhotra Maharaj, we can understand what the earth was going through, you see. Because Krishna was constantly touching her with his lotus feet. She was so accustomed for, as Prabhupada explained, something like 120 years, he was constantly touching the earth with his lotus feet. And all of a sudden, after 120 years of constantly feeling the Krishna's lotus feet, now they are gone. We can just imagine the anguish of Mother Bhumi in that separation from Krishna. How intense that anguish must have been. Just like tearing her apart. She couldn't stand it. This unbearable anguish, you see. Of course, those feelings, this is called vipralamba. The more we can feel the anguish of separation from the Lord and from great acharyas, you see, that feeling, the more intensely we can feel that anguish of separation, that brings us closer, closer, closer to them, you see. This is why every year we sing this Jai Anilo Premadana for Prabhupada again and again and again, because we want to churn those feelings of separation. Because the more you can feel that separation, the more you are in their presence. You see. Sometimes people think, but Krishna was so cruel to the gopis, why did he leave Vrindavan? He was so cruel to the Brijabasis, why did he plunge them into the ocean of unbearable, devastating grief? Worse than death. Why did he do that to the Brijabasis? But actually, this was Krishna's special kindness. He elevated them into even more intense, ecstatic connection with him. You see? Because the more you feel the pain of separation, the more your connection becomes stronger, 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 stronger. This is one of these secrets of Vaishnava philosophy, you see. This is unknown outside of Vaishnava philosophy. So now we'll wrap up the chapter, the text number 36. Tayorevam katayato prithivi dharmayastada parikshinama rajarshi prapta pracham sarasvatim. While the earth and the personality of Godhead were thus engaged in conversation, the saintly king Parikshit reached the shore of the Saraswati river, which flowed toward the east. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. There is actually no greater good fortune than having this opportunity to study, to discuss, to hear, to meditate upon, to inquire about, and to remember this transcendental Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful Bhagavatam. It is also alternatively titled as the Paramahamsa Samhita. It is the treatise for the most highly intelligent class of personalities within the universe. So it does not matter what your qualification may be. You may have a PhD. You may be illiterate. You may be old. You may be young. Whatever you may be. But if you will carefully study the Srimad Bhagavatam as it's been so perfectly presented by the greatest acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, then you will become a spiritually enlightened being, in quality one with the Lord, and empowered to spread His movement all over the world, and then go back to His transcendental abode to enter into His sweet transcendental pastimes. So I can ask now if there's any questions. And you have to speak up, because I'm really, my body is, I'm losing my hearing, so speak up. Any questions? Yes.
Prabhu, you were speaking about the importance of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go out to distribute books,
mm-hmm.
so usually we have quite a simple approach with the people. But sometimes we meet also people who are like very intelligent,
mm-hmm.
or maybe like academians.
Mm-hmm.
So how should we preach to them? Is it that you are not your body, or mm-hmm. what is the platform?
Well, you really have to be... The expert preacher is an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. Desha, kala, patra. It's not that he's like a machine. It just approaches everybody in the same way. He is very expert at seeing what is the mentality of this person. How can I connect this particular person with Krishna? How can I convince this person to take a book, you see? He's a very expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada did not preach the same way to everyone. He modified his approach according to the individual with whom he was speaking. Just like one time, he met with a member of the state legislature, the governing body of the state of Michigan, a big politician in the state of Michigan, and this man happened to have a Negro body. He's a black-bodied man. So Prabhupada, to charm him and make very nice relationship, Prabhupada said, yes, our Krishna is from your community. You know, Krishna is black, and you are black, so, you know, Krishna is from your community. He's a black man, he's from your community. This man just loved Prabhupada immediately, you see. Because the blacks, they're very proud. Yes, I am black. I'm black and I'm proud. So Prabhupada said, yes, our Krishna is from your community. So in this way, a preacher is very expert, you see. Actually, Prabhupada gives the example of Prabodhananda Sarasvati, a great follower of Lord Chaitanya. He said that you should approach the gentleman, bowing down at his feet, and flattering him 100 times. My dear sir, you are so learned. You are full of all saintly qualities. You are so tolerant. You are so merciful. You are so intelligent. And this way you flatter him 100 times. And then he says, all right, what do you want? My dear sir, whatever you have learned, kindly forget it and accept this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in this way, one has to be very expert to know who you are speaking to and how you can attract that particular person, the Krishna. Next question. So everyone is satisfied. Yeah.
For such people, can we just simply present this basic philosophy, like basic things from Bhagavad Gita, or should we have some very fancy details there?
I know. Actually, Prabhupada told one devotee that here's how you should distribute books. You go to the airport and you approach the man and you say, this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance of this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. He said, that's how you should sell the book, by quoting the verse. So, you know, you can... I mean, that's pretty bold. It's pretty ecstatic also. Prabhupada actually personally gave me some tips. How many people... I got some special mercy from Prabhupada. He gave me some special personal tips on how to distribute books. Personally, in a letter, he wrote me about how to distribute books. This was a really, really wonderful secret tip he let me in on. He said, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. Let's see. You can say something mechanically. If it's mechanical, it doesn't matter what you say, it won't have an impact. But if your heart and soul is in it, you know, and you're really reaching out and you're connecting with that person, they can feel the love coming from you, you see. Then you can tell them practically anything and they'll be attracted, you see. People don't really care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. You see, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. In this age, nobody cares about us anymore. Everybody just wants to use us for their sense gratification, you see. But as devotees, we actually care about people. We want to save them from the cycle of birth and death. So if they feel that here's a person who really cares about me, who's not out here on the street just so they can get their name in the Sankirtan newsletter, you know. He's out here on the street because he wants to help me to be happy. If people feel that, then you can say anything practically and they'll be interested to hear you. He said, another tip that Prabhupada gave me was, he said, if you will simply describe these books in the most descriptive manner, then anyone will be induced to purchase them. You just have to, you know, you yourself have to realize how wonderful these books are. That's the first thing. When you attend the classes, you should be, you know, just super enlivened to hear every word. You should be very enlivened to hear the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, etc. When you open the books up, you should go, wow, this is the most incredible nectar that's ever been manifest in this universe, Prabhupada's books, you see. You should have that feeling about the books yourself. Not that you just sell them, you know, to raise money for the temple. No, but you find these books are the most wonderful blessing that's ever been bestowed upon this universe. And if you have that feeling, that genuine feeling, and you just want to share the nectar with the people, then you can distribute millions of books. You can convince the whole world to read Prabhupada's book. Next question. Yeah.
So, what makes our preaching mechanical?
What makes it mechanical? Mechanical preaching comes from a lack of realization. So, you have to become realized, that's all. So how do you become realized? You have to, your own sadhana has to be first class. You have to rise early every day, take your bath, put on your tilak, put on your devotional clothing, you know, attend the programs, attend Mangal Arati with, not in a mechanical way, but realizing there's nothing more auspicious than attending Mangal Arati. You know that quote by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about Mangal Arati? You know that quote? Huh?
I have heard it.
You've heard it? Yeah. He says that anybody who will chant this Gravastakam prayers in the Brahma Muhurta, he will, the time of death, he will have the direct service of Krishna. I mean, that's a pretty good boon. That should be an impetus not to sleep in, but to get up. Wow! All I have to do is go to Mangal Arati every day during Brahma Muhurta and show Krishna I'm really serious about being his devotee. And then at the time of death, I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up in Krishna's pastimes. Hey, that's a pretty good deal, you know. I don't have to worry about, you know, a body that goes deaf, you know, so many problems we have in this material world, you know. So yeah, you should go through the, if you perform your sadhana bhakti in an ecstatic, enlivened way, realizing you're getting the greatest benediction, the opportunity to worship Gaura-Nitai with the Mangal Arati, the opportunity to worship the pure devotee of the Lord, Srimati Tulsi Devi, who's actually going to bless you, that you can be one of the, you know, Brijabasis in the spiritual world. She has the power to grant you entrance into the pastimes of Krishna, Srimati Tulsi Devi, because she is an intimate associate of the Lord, and she will bring you into that company if you worship her with love every morning. So in this way, if we take advantage of this morning program, not just say, yeah, I got to go to Mangal Arati, and then I got to do this, forgetting what is the purpose of all of this, you see. If you dive deeply into the meaning, I remember my Vartma Pradarshika Guru, His Holiness Vishnu Janamaraj, who brought me to this movement, who convinced me to surrender to Prabhupada. I remember one time he gave a lecture to a bunch of students at the Sunday feast, telling them about our morning program. And I'd never heard anybody ever describe our morning program so wonderfully. It was like he told about every little detail of what we do in the early morning in the temple. And it was like the most amazing mystical experience. I mean, it was incredible, you know. You go, wow, I could do that. See, we take it for granted mechanically. Yeah, I go to Mangal Arati and it's over in 20 minutes and I'm going to, you know. You know, it's mechanical. So you have to kick out that mechanical thing and dive into it. You really got to dive into it. I mean, just the singing itself, just the kirtan itself, you know, we have to dive into it. And here's another thing I haven't revealed before to you all, but before I joined this movement, I was a singer, and, you know, I had people used to really enjoy the music and all that, and I used to really get enlivened when people got enlivened hearing my music. And then when I joined the movement, there was a different style. You know, you're no longer doing a performance. You're actually, it's a different thing. You're part of a group kirtan. And I wrote Prabhupada about this. And he told me that actually just by singing in the kirtan, he told me that my musical desires to enjoy music would be completely satisfied just by joining in the kirtan. So, you know, you don't need to be a, you know, standing on a stage up there to enjoy music. Just by being a part of the kirtan, Prabhupada, he assured me that just by joining in the kirtan that I could be completely, totally satisfied. So, and it's a fact, that if we just dive into kirtan ras, which is the only safe position in this material world, then there is unlimited nectar. Actually, in kirtan, you're directly connecting with God. You're coming in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person who is emanating all that exists from his transcendental body. You're directly coming in contact with him in kirtan, and in your japa also. So if you will chant your japa in understanding you're directly meeting with God, the source of all that exists, the kirtan, everything you do, then naturally your preaching will not be mechanical. Your own practice has to be realized practice. course, we have a tendency to be mechanical, let's face it. As neophyte devotees, our tendency is to be mechanical. But we have to remind ourselves not to be mechanical, that I am dealing directly with God. Just like Prabhupada warned us, this is a very heavy, heavy warning he gave us in Los Angeles. He said, he warned us, we have to remember that when we do the deity worship, we're actually dealing with God, and directly dealing with God. He said, don't be puffed up. He warned us very, very intensely. With great compassion in his heart, he warned us not to be puffed up in dealing with the deity worship. And he said, otherwise you will think, there will be a time when you will come and you will think, this old man came and he gave us this burden. We'll think that Prabhupada is some old man who gave us this, you know, this horrible burden. We have to do all this puja, you see. You see. If we take it mechanically, then that day will come and think, who was this old man who gave us this burden? See, what a horrible thing that would be, you see. So we should never allow ourselves to take anything mechanically. The deity worship, Tulsi worship, serving the Vaishnavas, everything should be done with love, bhakti, you see, with love. One should never see one's guru as an ordinary person. One must always see, this is directly Hari, shakshad Hari tvena shamashta shastrir. The spiritual master is Krishna himself appearing in his servitor form. You see? So in this way, we have to kick out the material tendencies that pull us into a mechanical practice of Krishna consciousness and disempower us from preaching, actually. If your practice is realized, it's not mechanical, your preaching will be very powerful. That's a fact. It will not be mechanical, it will be realized. And we heard Prabhupada preach, you see, when he spoke about Krishna, we knew it wasn't mechanical. Prabhupada brought Krishna to life for us, you see. So in this way, we have to become not like some parrot just blindly repeating Pali Vanagrakar, Pali Vanagrakar, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. There has to be deep feeling and realization. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has appeared as Nama Avatar. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, we have to connect solidly with Krishna in all of our practice, and then our preaching will naturally be very, very realized and powerful preaching. It can attract so many people to join this movement. Any other questions? So, we will stop here and then we will get again together tomorrow. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Helsinki Devotees Ki Jai.